Blog Talk Radio.
The Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, whose remarkable quantum meditation readings provide a view of the beyond, just like Edgar Cayce, and co-host Doug Bentley. Now get ready to call in and talk at 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. On the Global Village Radio Show. Now here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome, everyone. It's quite a week, and the weekend is shaping up to be one of those pay attention kind of weekends. There's a lot of things going on in the world. We're going to discuss that a little bit. There are some predictions I made some time ago that are coming true this weekend. It seems to be a mixed bag of financial disasters, weather conditions, political movements, and also agreements with faraway countries that we might not like, but always remember that these other countries are sovereign. They have complete charge over what they do and who they talk to. Of course, the disasters that are going on in the world, too, we've talked about before. They're still going on, and we have to pay attention and send our prayers out to those people as well. But tonight, chaos is in the world, and it's like a disease. And we are attempting to do something out there. That is to say, my friends, we are establishing a series of hope conferences, because hope is the medicine and the cure for this disease we call chaos. But who is going to administer that?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Could you please say that again?
I certainly can, just a minute. There we go. Pardon, everyone. You know who that was, my friends, if you have one of those little talking ladies in your house, you know. I'm not going to say her name in case she comes back on. But anyway, that's my smart house saying she can't catch what I'm saying because I didn't say her name first. Anyway, bond to the word. Chaos is a disease in the world. And we are establishing, myself and my friends, a series of hope conferences. And we are moving about in different places. There's a trilogy coming up here at the Hope Conferences, and we're inviting you all to them. But hope is like a medicine and a cure for disease that I'm naming chaos in the world is rampant, he says. As we'll get into the show, we're not going to be political, but we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening out there in the political world and also in the banking community. As I said off the top, it's a really difficult weekend. And if you haven't heard about it, we are going to discuss the Silicon Valley banking crisis. It is the second biggest bank to fail in U.S. history. Yes, you heard me right. In California, the Silicon Valley has failed. The regulators went in today and seized the bank, all its assets. Apparently, there were some people that were in on it ahead of time, in on the know. And many of the, I don't want to say in on it kind of people, but the word was spreading. And they were able to take out most of their assets. These are large companies. the smaller people like you and me, unfortunately, weren't given this privileged news. And we understand that there's going to be some guarantees that small businesses, ordinary folks who had invested in this second largest bank will get their money. The real problem, my friends, is what about other banks? You know, chaos, like runs on the bank, are a cancer that run rampant and they can't be stopped. So tonight we're kind of asking for calm from our little corner of the world, but also to understand I have made these predictions before that there would be such a time and that these are times or signs of the times of just how extreme things are happening. But tonight we want to know when there is this negativity out there. And you hear people shout with indignation, something has to be done. Someone should do something. You've heard that. Why hasn't anyone said something? And of course, this despair turns into anger, mixed emotions. And then ultimately some hopelessness comes along, or there's this, what would you call it, a depression that would come over people, and they would say, oh, what can I do? Well, I'm here to tell you that you can do something. It might not be obvious right now. We're going to talk through that as we get on with the show tonight, and we're going to take your calls and see how you feel about this upcoming change and situation that's going on. Gold has gone through the roof. It's up almost to $40. Silver is up a little bit. And I'm sure palladium and platinum and all the other precious metals, including semi-precious like nickel and copper, are going to go through the roof too. The stock market has taken the crash as well. So what is it? How do we survive these times? First of all, let's talk about it. And you tell me what's on your mind. And I'm going to give you some pointers on how we can get by this time. And for you people who are out there who have invested in these companies and these banks, I know you're fretting right now. You're probably planning. Maybe you've been trying to make withdrawals all night long on the internet. But I encourage you to do whatever you think is right. I'm not here to tell you not to do something. I'm here to tell you that these things will get by. I'm going to give you some hope on that. And we're hoping to see all of you in our next appearance. We were scheduled. We had a whole conference in Fort Worth, Texas. The next one is coming up in Phoenix. And then we're going to head off, oh, believe it or not, to California and L.A. But for now, it's off the top of the show. That's the breaking news. You've probably heard about it. It has been on the larger newscast, and it's on the Internet, and people are really betwixt and between, not quite sure what to do. This is the time we live in. And the question is, who's responsible? Who can help us? Who's going to lead us out of this? What's the right thing to do? We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I'm joined with my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, who is a retired educator. As you know, he's been on the show for years now, and we've had many conversations about many things. But some of the things that have happened today, we've spoken about before. Alliances being made, Iran and Iraq being friends. Unbelievable as it sounds, they're going to be really close friends. Situations going on with India, China, and of course, something is coming up in Syria. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about a dream that a friend mentioned to me prior to the show. It's not good. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Welcome to the show, Doug. It's an eventful evening. The storm is going in our part of the world, in the Northeast U.S. and coming up into Canada and Quebec, and it just is stopping everything. You're okay where you are, I'm sure, in your nice, wonderful fairyland, winter wonderland place. Are you staying warm? You doing okay?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yes, yes. It's very pretty to look at. Snow. I have a quick comment to make, just to give you part of an old ancient Indian saying. It says, a man or woman who has hope has everything. That's the end of the quote. And basically, it's so true. Because as long as you have hope, you can move forward. And in my opinion, no matter what happens in the world, there's always reason for hope.
Well, you're right about that. We're calling it the medicine and cure for the chaos and the confusion and the difficulty that's going on in the world. We have several people waiting in the queue tonight, and we're going to get to you right after a short break. We should have a very good show tonight. This is an important topic, and we want you to call in and let us know what you think about what's going on right now. Who can help us? Who's responsible? What can we do? Is there nothing we can do? Is it just more of the same? Call in the number 718-766-4421. We'll be right back after this short message.
There's a Hope Conference coming to you. 2 days of spiritual enlightenment with personal interactions with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, along with guest speakers in open forum lectures and workshops, near-death experiences, angels, virtue healing, interpreting your dreams, the tree of life, the DNA of your soul. Those are just several of the topics covered in this all-new conference. There'll be special hotel room rates at conference locations. The Hope Conference will leave you spiritually energized with new cutting-edge information. See details at hopeconferences.org and view the breakdown of conference curriculum. Plus, plenty of opportunities to mingle with fellow seekers who have a goal of making the world a better place for themselves and others. See hopeconferences.org, and we look forward to seeing you. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at douglasjamescottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
You're listening to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Now back to our calls and our hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. As we were talking off the top of the show, it's been a momentous time this last few days, especially today. The second largest bank failure in U.S. history has happened today with the Silicon Valley Bank being seized by the bank regulators. And there's a lot of skullduggery going on. As I mentioned, people seem to know a few days ahead of time, and where some of the larger depositors were able to get their money out well at the expense, perhaps, or at the indifference to the smaller investors and ordinary people like you and me. So we're going to talk a little bit about these coming disasters, but the ones that are here today, can we do something about it? I think we can. I know we can. And that's why these Hope Conferences have been started. And we're going to come to your community in time. We're going to be there uniting everyone who has a like-minded consciousness and desire to make this world safer, stronger, better. The divine will bless us. We know these things are for sure, but the insight and the predictions and the prophecies that have been made about this time, as you know, I have written books about it, and on this very show we have made other predictions similar to what's going on today about bank failures, similar to the situation of runs on the bank, the internet going out, situations of nuclear explosions in Europe. We have said these things. Why? To give you a heads up, to unite you to come to some understanding that if the future can be foreseeable, and it can be, then there is a reason that the divine is giving us these insights. And that, most obviously, is to prepare for these times. My friend in Texas, Raul, had insights like this, that there would be a run or runs on the bank. And speaking with him earlier tonight, he is likewise apprehensive that what's happening today in California at the SVB collapse is going to spread. Now, we shouldn't be alarmed for alarm's sake. We should say, these are situations that are going to happen. How best can I accommodate myself, protect myself, without going into, let's say, anxiety and worry and fear or depression or collapse? It's not that bad. It's a circumstance or a situation. The world is going to continue on. If we were prepared for this time, and to some degree we were, then we should be able to survive this time, because the powers that be aren't going to allow disaster to obliterate the banking community. Not going to happen, but it's going to be rough for the next few days. So how can we get by? How can we do something? What do you have to say? Because many of your friends and many of us out there in the Global Village audience are saying, hasn't somebody done something? Why don't they do something? Who are these people that we always refer to as they? They're going to do something. They should have done something. Why didn't they do something? Who are they? Let's find out who they are tonight as we go through this show. There are other conditions in the world that are taking place, alliances outside of the U.S. and Canada. There are situations going on with, as I said, in the Middle East, where partnerships and agreements are taking place. We don't like them, but they're taking place because everybody is now playing for real. This is beyond the diplomatic push and shove. We have Finland and Sweden and other countries wanting to join NATO. Why? Why now? Because they're afraid. We have agreements taking place in Iran and Iraq. Why? Because they want to start their own power and get back into developing weapons. Or instead of fighting each other, which hasn't paid off for generations, now they see the wisdom of coming together. There are agreements between India and China. China's been talking to Russia. Why? To have some sort of military superpower? No. They're coming together for self-benefit, mutual protection perhaps, but not to arm and then encroach upon the world. They're coming together to unify and to help and assist one another. Look out there in the world and see what's going on, and then see what's going on or should be going on in your world, in our global village. We should be making alliances with each other. We should be coming together. And we are going to do that at the Hope Conferences. People who are spiritually minded, people who have a singleness of purpose, and that purpose is peace, we can affect the world. That's right, we can. So tonight, we're going to go through the list. There's several people of you here, so we'll try to get to everybody. We're on until 10:30 tonight. We have an hour and a half show. And so let's go to the phones. And where are you, my friends? What do you want to say to the world? Here's your chance. Let's discuss it. Where are we going first, Paul?
We are going to Chicago, and Karen is on the line. Hello. Karen.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to say that there's a lot of chaos in the world right now. I'm very brokenhearted and upset. I had to break up with my boyfriend.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I took him to a store. We went to the mall, and I said, sit here. I said, I'm going to look for something, a sweatshirt or something. We were at the Victoria's Secret Pink, and I said, just sit here. And I walked away, and then I heard the phone ring, and I saw him talking, and I didn't think anything about it. And then I walked around. I said, you know what? Something's going on here. So then I walked on the side and I came back and he was like, hi, how are you? And he was so happy. How are you doing? It's so nice to talk to you. Oh, my God. And then he was talking and I said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I got to go. He was talking to his ex-girlfriend. And when we went in the store, he had a big sour face. He was like very nasty in the store with me. And then I didn't think anything about it. So then we went to the next store and he had another sour face. And we went home and he never mentioned anything. So then I was at his house and I just kind of mentioned, I said, hey, you know, were you talking to your daughter? And he said, oh, no. And I said, oh, you were talking to your buddy? And he said, this guy. And I said, no. He said, no, I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to my ex-girlfriend. And I said, what? And I just couldn't believe it. Yeah, she was stranded. She's been trying to call him. I know that. And she said she was stranded at the side of the road, and she needed his help finding where the coolant was. But she already has a boyfriend. She has an ex-husband. She has, you know, a son-in-law, a daughter who's college-educated. And she had to call. She texted him, and he went and called her.
So why did you break up? Because of that?
Yeah, because of that. We started arguing, and then he turned it around and told me that I was cheating on him. And I was like, I'm not calling anybody. You're the one, you know, want to be a superhero for everybody. I'm like, that girl has other people to call. You know, you won't have to be, you know, inserting yourself into her personal affairs. I said, you know, and I got very upset. And it was in the middle of the night, and we were screaming, and I grabbed my things, and I called Uber from his house, and I just left. And
oh, my goodness.
And he just kept, yeah. And it was in the middle of the night, and an Uber driver came, picked me up, and he took me from the south side of Chicago, or from the suburb, all through the south side, because they had to pick up other riders, so it was cheaper. But I spent a lot of money coming back, and then he kept fighting with me and cussing me out, and that was it. I just didn't talk to him.
We know you're hurting, but this is not the topic for tonight's show, Karen.
I'm sorry.
Has he tried to call you back and say anything to you? We know you're friends. You've been calling in on the show for years now, and I know you're hurting. Has he tried to make amends?
No, he just keeps telling me that I'm with other people and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, my fatherly advice is, as much as you're upset, for whatever reason, foolish or otherwise, or maybe instead of knowing somebody that you had a relationship with and they find themselves in trouble, not to take sides here, but the modus operandi, if I can put it that way, for you would be just to sit still and then say, okay, I'll see if he comes back and apologizes. Maybe it was bad judgment, but it wasn't worth breaking up. And again, there's some darkness in the world. People have been feeling nervous. It was a full moon just a couple of days ago. There's a lot of skullduggery going on, and a lot of people are picking up on it. And, you know, you might have read too much into this. He might have been, like most men are, kind of doing dumb things and got caught, and so instead of fessing up, you know, tried to smooth it over, which of course was like raking, putting gas on the fire. So my suggestion is, because you guys had such a good relationship, don't let this one little dumb thing ruin it. You were angry, justifiably. He went home, spent a lot of money getting there. And then you have to sit and say, okay, is he worth salvaging? Was my relationship a good one up until this dumb thing? And if it all looks positive, then you say, okay, let's wait and see if we can work it out. It's worth it if you give it another go. What do you think?
Yeah, I just kind of let it kind of cool off a little bit.
Because you're venting here on international radio. And
yes,
so,
I understand.
Yeah, well, we're your friends, and when you have difficulties over the years, you've had some severe ups and downs and illnesses and mummies, and this, the mummy's not well. And so we've always come through. And so tonight, off the top of the show, it's like there is a lot of difficulty in the world. There are things going on in the world right now. Agreements are being made because everybody's afraid. And I see that As my friend Ross Peterson used to say, humans, as you know, humans always do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. And so the right thing is the world is coming together and making agreements out of fear. You're worried about something happening, attacks or whatever. There are problems that have gone on when this Silicon Valley Bank skullduggery or catastrophe comes to light. And there's going to be a solid reason why this happened. Maybe they were heavy into mortgages or Bitcoin or whatever, and they made some dumb decisions. But there was a run on the bank, and there are going to be more runs on the bank. My friend Raul has seen that. I've seen it myself. I predicted on the show. Cool heads. Now, whatever's going to happen is going to be okay. But for the time being, everybody's going to be scared, and a lot of rash things are going to happen. So that's the attitude that you're in with your friend. And at this point in time, have the confidence in your relationship and his feelings for you. Is, you know, that was your Achilles tendon. So, but have the confidence. Say, we had a pretty good time. We were meant to be. Douglas saw him coming way back in the day. Here he is. So maybe this is just him doing a guy thing. Okay?
Okay.
Make sense? Okay.
Makes sense. Yes.
So have a glass of wine, listen to the rest of the show, turn on your favorite music, and in your mind you think, give me a call, it's okay, and see what he says. All right?
Okay. Yes.
All right. We've all been there, Karen. We've all been there. And this is a valuable thing to have. So everything has a few, you know, bumps in the night, but that's my feeling is he's probably crying right now. Okay. Let's see.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right. Okay. Bye, Karen. Okay, Paul, looks like we're going across the country here in all these different area codes. Where are we going next?
Yeah, we are going to Canada. We've got Jay on the line.
Hi, Jay. Are you in Manitoba?
No, oh, Alberta. And you're in Ontario.
There we go. Sorry.
You're
last. It's been a while since you've been on the show. Good to have you back on. How are you?
No problem. Thanks for remembering me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm sorry I got Manitoba. I knew you wrote that away. You know, Ontario, Manitoba, Alberta, what the heck, same place. For our American friends, that's like saying California and Ohio are the same place. You know, so there we go. Okay.
You know,
what's up?
Well, it's an interesting topic. You're talking about, or the show, you're talking about someone do something about this. Mm-hmm. When I hear that, I always think of a movie called Ghostbusters, where one part of the movie, the first movie, where they were going to destroy this god and on top of the building, and Egon says, "No, you go do it." So we're always waiting for somebody else to actually do something besides taking responsibility for ourselves. I notice that quite a bit. You always, like, it's even in a group setting, it's always one person out who's going to take responsibility and do it. And then all of a sudden, people around will actually help with that process. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know, just if we were to do it all at once, would we have some of the issues that's going on in the world right now? I don't think so. I think they would be minimized or diminished. But because also... There's so much going on right now. I don't think people don't know where to look at first, and that's important for themselves right now. You know, there's the financial chaos that's going on. The SVB Bank down in California, there's actually about 10 more down in the States. I heard they're ready to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the war that's going on. We don't know who's really telling the truth. Basically, or what's being put out there on both sides. But there's a lot of movement and machinery going there. And we have, you know, the food thing that's being destroyed, the food crops and things. So, and also what would be else would be the truths that are coming out that they want to crush. So there's quite a bit out there for people to comprehend and understand and grasp why is this going on. And we didn't have it that complicated now or before as compared to now because of technology and also the number of, I call it threads that are going on that are, it's just like, it's like a braided thread. It's like a braided chaos is going on right now at the same time.
Well,
they're interweaved of each other.
Yeah, that's a pretty good synopsis. I mean, basically, back in the day, we had three networks. And you watch the 6 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news, and you might tune in at noontime and see the news, the radio, and the car. It's part of the problem is the availability of information. And then that information is being manipulated. And as always, people, when they tell a story about something, they want to put their opinion, their slant on it. They're trying to persuade somebody by telling the story about an event to make their point. There are people right now about this bank collapse that are outraged and they want to hang everybody, and there's other people on the other side saying this was mismanagement and we're going to get through this. I'm making this up as far as polarizing it. But the point being is this is exactly the world we live in. And the steps down to answer your question, this is part of the show, is who are you, the audience? Who are you? As you use an example, that in a group setting, you know, somebody stands up and says, we need to build a bridge. Everybody in the room knew that the village needed to build a bridge, but nobody was willing to voice it, do something, make a plan, take responsibility, or take charge. It's like everybody's on the train. But the engine is that person that stands up and gets things moving, the push or the pull. However, if everyone who knows what to do were to cooperate rather than waiting to be told what to do, because people are inherently afraid to make mistakes, they are afraid to say something that others might criticize them for or, you know, say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You know, putting your finger in the dike and stopping the water, give me a break. You know, that's not going to work. Well, turns out to be exactly the right thing to do. The idea for the audience is to give yourself permission. Don't people please. And when you have an idea, don't dismiss it. It may be the divine speaking to you in that moment, giving you a little nudge, giving you a little hint. And it may be exactly the solution to the problem at hand. So it's a matter of having confidence in yourself. And if you don't have confidence that your ideas are worthy, then have the wherewithal to say, listen, I could be right, I could be wrong, but here's a wild and wacky idea. Let's put a wedge in that hole in the dike there so it doesn't deteriorate any further, or whatever the story would be. And people will find that like little cells, because I've done this, people will stand up and say, you know, I was just thinking that. Yeah, I had that idea this morning. I had a dream about that yesterday. You find out that several people in the group had exactly the same notion, the idea, but they didn't have the gumption to implement it or put it into gear. And that is the thing when somebody says, somebody has to do something. As soon as those words come out of your mouth, my friends, that's when you say, I should be doing something, because you are talking to yourself when you say that.
Yeah.
When you say somebody ought to do something, okay, what can you do about it? Well, I can carry one brick or one sandbag or one shovel. I know I can do that. And you say, okay, then I'll do it. Not to say, well, what's one brick going to matter or one sandbag or one shovel? Well, it just might be the first one that, you know, like a magnet brings on the rest, or it might be the last one that's needed to fulfill the project. Don't judge yourselves, my friends. And so when you look at this, Jay, it's like, you know, you put a pretty good assessment of the gamut there of how people look at themselves and how they go around in a circle, basically. But the idea is whenever you ask those questions, you know, somebody ought to do something. What can I do about it should be the question. somebody should say something. Speak up. If you don't like something in the neighborhood, you don't have to go down to the neighborhood bully and scream at them. You can write a letter to the bully and saying, I think your bully, you're out of line, just wanted to know. You could send a letter to an agency or to an authority and say, I could be right, it could be wrong, but there's something going on down the street here that I don't like and I don't think it's right. Rather than doing nothing, staying silent, and then allowing this skullduggery to turn into some violence or somebody gets hurt or some little child gets hurt, and then you feel guilty that you should have spoken up. And then you say to yourself, well, what could I have done? Well, we just enumerated three or four things. Do something, and if everybody does something, then as a group effort, one of those ideas is going to be the perfect idea. On the other side of the coin is when somebody comes up with a crazy idea, off-the-wall idea, or comes up with any idea and you haven't, don't belittle it. Don't judge it. Give it some merit and think about it, because it might be a triggering idea, you know, something that's thrown out there and other people in a think tank sort of mentality go, ding, they find a solution. So we shouldn't be talking to other people, talking down to them. We shouldn't be belittling when somebody comes up with an idea. And we should be willing to say something or do something, especially when the words come out of your mouth, in my opinion, and say, somebody ought to say something. Somebody ought to do something. Something should be done. Just turn that around and say, I should say something. I should do something about that. I should get something done. Make sense? I'm talking to everybody now, Jay.
Yeah, it does make sense. We live in a privileged, immortal society, and what I mean by that is we have privileges where we get instantaneous information on our devices. We're privileged that we have this, you know, in Canada we have this healthcare system that they're going to take care of us. Or if something happens with maybe the banks, they'll bail us out. And I'm calling it immortal because we feel that if we were to look at our own mortality, this is another thing that we are looking into, this, that we would be looking at every moment is that if we get a look at being responsible for, and not to the point where actually we get anxiety about it, but more of a point is that we get to enjoy every moment on this earth because we're not sure when we're going to pass on at any time now. It's such a tense environment. For example, there was news regarding, I don't know if you heard it down in Ontario, that there was a hockey team, they were shaking hands, and all of a sudden something happened, it turned into a brawl, and they had to actually, you know, take the coaches out, and they were put on probation or something like that. So it tells you that we're in a tense world right now, that anything can trigger us. Anything, and basically, I feel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like we're too quick to take offense. We're too quick to judge. We're too quick to criticize. And we have to say, why am I angry today? You know, like people go around with a chip on their shoulder. It used to be in the old days, somebody would just had a problem or something. They always got a chip on their shoulder and they dismissed it by that. But there are people who are perpetually doing that. And they usually have some similar things. They're on the internet all the time. They have strong opinions. They're passing around conspiracies that they haven't, you know, done any fact-checking. And some of the things they say don't make sense. But they're on a steady diet of, let's just say, negativity. And that's one of the things, you know, if we look at the good book and we hear the Ten Commandments, one of the things that always used to get me when I was a kid was, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then it went on, you know, thou shalt not covet, you know, the neighbor's property. And I always thought, well, okay, back in the day, you know, 5,000 years ago, maybe living in a village with Moses and the guys, that made sense. But what does that mean? Well, it means exactly you shouldn't be passing around conspiracies. You shouldn't be judging people. You shouldn't be gossiping about people. It doesn't talk about, you know, making false statements like you're in court. It's like when you gossip, or you jump to conclusions and you get to that juicy detail, that bit of gossip. You can hardly wait to tell somebody down the street, you know, so-and-so is doing such and such. You just fell into a whole big mud pie. And learning how not to do that, it takes a lot of effort. So to the audience again, Jay, I'm not preaching here. Was the saying that this is where, if we look at these things, that you're very astute in what you said tonight, and it's right on the money with the topic of the show tonight. When we go to these Hope conferences, the next one's in Phoenix. Phoenix Rising. There we go. Well, that's the name of the Hope conference. We're going to call it the Phoenix Rising. when we go to these conferences, we can sit down and we can talk to people and say, yeah, you know what, that makes sense. And then, well, what do you do when people are bullying you on the internet, or your daughter or son's on the internet? What do you do? Well, somebody can say, this is what I did, and somebody else can say, this is something else that can be done. And you can talk it out, work it out, and then do something about it. But that's why people have to come together. That's why all the nations in the country, or the world rather, are coming together making agreements. Old enemies are now making agreements with each other. Why? Because the circumstances in the world are the things that are provoking these people to finally get around to making friends with each other. My rule of thumb. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I think also there's strategic partnerships going on, whether it's financial or a position of power, or the countries that know or feel that if something breaks out that they're going to align themselves with a country that will keep them, how do you say it, prosperous or strategically safe or security thing, it seems like that. So we always hear that, but if you look at how countries do business with each other, and from a business point of view, it's very complicated in some sort of way, especially with the partnerships, with China and India or even Africa, where they have a lot of mineral resources that the EV companies want to actually get at for lithium and cobalt. So you look at that. So
that's right.
The powers that be know this, and they're drafting up rules. If you heard about the international health regulation rules or what they're I don't know if you heard about that, but basically it takes away the sovereignty and constitutional rights of the countries, and WHO governs it. So if they do that with Africa, which they may not do because Africa didn't actually participate in the COVID thing as much as North American or the European markets. So you'll look at something like that could affect strategic partnerships too. So if we dive deeper into a lot of things, we understand it's very, very complicated how countries intermingle with each other. And it's not on a cultural basis. It's more of a business point of view, more business and power. So,
that's right. That's
I think right
business.
Now, right now,
it's always
yeah,
business.
I think it's right now, it's, yeah, it is. I think it's a race to the bottom for some things and race to the top for power and control.
Well,
so we see
again,
a lot of things colliding. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, again, we need order. Humans, as we know, humans need to be told, directed, shown, kind of like we're all sheep. And so we need the good shepherd to show us which way to go, meaning the businessman. Business runs the world. Something that has popped my mind while you were talking was that a friend of mine talks about these world order agreements and compromises that are being made academically or socially. But think about when COVID was on and everybody was blaming China and there was going to be governors and senators suing China and COVID this. And I had predicted that this was a mistake in a lab in Wuhan. And my friend Ramstein Raglan put it up on his YouTube. And that's been out there since the beginning. And now we're getting around to, yes, it seems to have been the COVID was invented, discovered, or produced in Wuhan and might have been an escape from the lab or it might have been somebody playing around with a bat. I think in that YouTube video it talks about small animals, doesn't say bat. But that was at the beginning. And so I had some insight into that that's now being proven. But all the people were complaining along the way, politicians and whatnot, China this, China this, China that. But where was the world dependent upon personal protection equipment, masks, and all kinds of garments and whatnot? China. China is, if you will, it was taking a beating and criticism from everybody, but they were providing everything in the world. Not everything, of course, but the lion's share of things. There were planes, cargo planes lined up in China to get these personal protective equipment things. And so, you know, if you look at it and say, now, if this was political, they would have said, you're criticizing us and you're blaming us for this big disaster in the world, so we're not going to send you any protective equipment. To hell with you. Let you die. But China didn't do that. And the businessmen in China, I should say, didn't do that. They just kept on doing business. The same as in the Ukraine. The bombing was in the cities. The bombing was not for the crops. The crops were allowed to grow and harvest took place. And back in the Second World War, there were things that cities that made machinery and other commodities, they weren't bombed. They were allowed to continue and go on. So from a cynical perspective, you know, what we're looking at now is world order, but really the world order is from business. You know, we need each other. It's when we stop doing business or trade with each other that we're going to be in big trouble. But the trade, you know, the silk, the camel trains, you know, the Silk Road, whatever, that opened up and kept things going from the European to the Orient. And that was a lifeline too. So I'm just sort of, you know, throwing this out there because it's occurring to me. Yep. Because you're making a good point. But it's the business that we do with each other that keeps us talking to each other. Second World War, Japan was cut off from their oil, from the U.S. wasn't giving China oil. Japan need oil, and Japan had this military arrogance. And the people at the time were samurai, and they hadn't lost a war in 5,000 years or something. Well, they had their comeuppance, and that's the problem, is that when we get into commodities, we get into big, big, big money and profit, and then we have people, if they're not schooled or have a calm hand, then the next thing is might makes right rather than business. But you know what? It always works out. But right now, getting back to your original point, we are bombarded with this information, and to leave it in a point is to say, are you okay wherever you are in the world right now? Look around your house. If you were to turn off the internet, put your cell phone, you know, into hibernation mode for the weekend, what would happen? I guarantee you absolutely nothing would change in your house. You'd be okay. And so selectively, spending a little time at getting things on the news is good, but getting caught up in other people's concerns or world events or whatever, unless it's a hobby, it's best not to do that, especially if you start to become angry, worried, depressed, frustrated, futile, and dramatic depression, suicidal. This is not your world. And that has to be a distinguishing point between, I'm talking to everybody here now, a distinguishing point before what you allow yourself to be inundated with. And it's good to have opinions, absolutely. But how is your life today? How are you making money? What's going on? That's the place to start. And then, as we got back to the start, to Jay's remarks, it's like, yeah, what, if somebody needs to do something, okay, what can I do? Go ahead, Jay.
No, it's okay. You're right about that. But what I'm taking to point now is, like, if someone is barking me on email saying, and curious, making assumptions like things like that, because I had one person do that, I'm just kind of laughed at the email, and I said, I'm not going to take this personally. Like, it just, I don't want to get emotional about it, because it's like, why waste my time now? I don't have time for stuff. I got my other friends who are in the mode of, like, community right now, because mm-hmm. we're all like-minded, but we've done efforts to prepare for what's going on. The thing is that it's far and few between, but I really treasure those people in my group, if you want, my friends group. And
here's a couple of things that happens to me a lot. Monkey does what a monkey does. Okay? And another one is, not my monkey, not my circus. And another one is like, look at this. This person is showing me their spiritual poverty or their emotional poverty. Why does somebody send a negative blast off to somebody on an email or a tweet? They wouldn't do it to their face. And that's another thing. Ask yourself, would they do this if they were standing in front of me? Would they say, no, they wouldn't. They're cowards.
Yeah.
So they're hurting and they're reaching out and trying to hurt somebody else so they can feel satisfied that they're not hurting. And so when you say that, when it comes down to it, and I've had circumstances in my life where people have said really, really, really bad things, and you go like, it's of course not true, because if it was, I'd get all upset about it and think they're right. But when it's not true, it's just kind of like, what the heck are they talking about? That's when you say, not my monkey, not my circus. And we have, you see, somebody once very wisely said, we have no control over what other people think. We have no control over what other people think of us. So why bother attempting to defend yourself, to right yourself, to convince them they're wrong? It's better to say, you know what? You might have a point there. What's for lunch? Okay, because when people do things that are dumb, there is a reason, but I guarantee people who do dumb things regret later on. And that regret is more painful than any kind of retribution or correction you can give them. Because they know in the future, these people have been bullying other kids at school. When they get older, they're going to be terrified that their kids are going to be bullied at school. Or they're going to have such great regrets that it's going to affect their life. Because we don't get away with things. Nobody gets away with anything. But anyway, when you get these things that come in like an email like that, you just go, where's the click button? Gone. Next. Mm-hmm. And that, my friend, is the spiritual lesson. People do these things to try you, to see how much your patience has been defined or has grown. So this is a spiritual test. And when you look at that and you don't react and you feel calm, you say, hey, I just passed the test. But that's why things are sent to provoke you like that on a spiritual level, to test your ability to be patient. And usually, I know this is a fact, anybody that criticizes you will be asking for your help in the future, every single time. And if you pay attention, you'll see that somebody will say, you know that big jerk, he's always doing that, and what a blah, blah, he's a slob, you know, gee whiz, you know, like wishy whiz, blah, blah, blah. And then out in the parking lot, you say, holy moly, you know, my tire's flat, can you help me open the trunk? And the big guy comes over and says, sure, I'll take the tire out for you. Sure, I'll jack up the car. Sure, I'll change the bolts on it. There you go, all set. I have seen that play out so many times that it's a rule. You criticize somebody, you're going to need their help in the future. Think about that, my friends. Anyway, yeah. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Jay. And stay warm in Alberta. I guess you are.
I will. I'm doing great. I'd like to talk more, but you got other people on the line probably, and it's been always a great conversation, as usual.
Well, sir, as always, yes, you're going to New York a couple of times, back to Chicago, and some other people are just listening in from different parts. So always a pleasure. Good point. Good observation. You hit the topic of the show right on the head there. Excellent. Thanks for calling,
you're
Jay.
Welcome.
Thanks for being part of the show.
Yep.
Maybe we'll be out in Alberta pretty soon doing a Hope Conference someday. Okay.
Great.
Okay, thanks, Jay.
Welcome.
Okay, Doug, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, along a similar basis, what I say to myself is that people can think what they like. They have to live with themselves. And as you alluded to, eventually they will regret it. I mean, it's natural. If they're good people and they're just succumbing to stress and circumstances, they will regret it. Hopefully
okay.
They'll apologize later. So.
Well, we're going to head on over to New York. We got a few callers. We're going to go back to Chicago. And the number to call, my friends, is 718-766-4421. Jay hit it right on the head here about who is responsible, who is that person, and how does that person change the world? And that person is you, my friends. We'll be right back after this short break.
Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials.
Who is God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And you're listening to the Global Village Radio Show. We are broadcasting worldwide here on the Internet. Tonight, my good friend and co-host Doug Bentley joins me with our topic tonight, Chaos in the World. It's a disease. And the HOPE conferences that we are initiating here with my friends, and you can go to, what is that again, Doug or Paul, that website that people can go check it out?
It is HOPE Conferences, plural, hopeconferences.org, O-R-G.
And all the information is there, I guess, events, topics, how to sign up. And I understand they have some great deals on hotel discounts as well. So we have a series of them coming up, a trilogy, if you will. So go there, my friends. What is that again, Paul, that website?
HOPE. Conferences, HOPECONFERENCES, hopeconferences.org.
And we'll hope to see you go there. You can put in your mailing list, put your name on the mailing list there as well, I believe. And there's other information coming up for other events. We'll have some major speakers at these HOPE conferences, and we are attracting some big names who will be joining us as we move through our intention of bringing hope to the world. So we look forward to having you there, my friends. And more information or about me or where I'm going to be and things of that, you can go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and there'll be some information about the podcast, Wake Up, and the Hope Conferences, and much, much more. So again, thank you, Paul. I keep forgetting that website. What's it called again?
It's hopeconferences.org, O-R-G.
Okay, I'll try that. I'll write that down. I'll put it in my phone, and I'll text it to myself. Okay, so we have some more calls. Where are we going next, Paul?
We're going to New York.
We're going to New York.
And Catherine, we need you to turn your radio or laptop down so we don't have feedback. And you are on the air.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
You're
can
welcome.
You hear me okay? Thank
we
you.
Can.
Yes. And I, yes, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say now that you got your volume down. Yeah, we can, no, there's no reverberation. Yes. Oh,
thank
there it
you.
Is. There, I can hear it. Turn it down. Turn your volume down on your keyboard.
Oh, I'm calling from my phone. Is that better?
Well, we'll see. Let's go.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I just want to thank you for all the positivity you're putting out in the world. First of all, I just want to thank you all. It's super, super important, you know, especially
oh,
now it seems.
So nice of you, Catherine. Thank you. You know, thank
yes,
you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, sincerely. I was calling because my mom has a legal issue. And I'm wondering if you see me having to get an attorney or if you think it's something I could speak on her behalf for and the company will settle with us, with her, you know.
No, in circumstances like this, unless you're putting them on notice, which is you write a letter and at the top of the page you say, take notice, in capital letters, bold, and a line underneath it. And then the next line you say, without prejudice, capital letters, in bold, and a line underneath it. And then you make an offer. You say, my mother overpaid or you didn't pay her enough money, and we would like to we'd like you to consider you know, the facts that my mother is owed so much money, and if you check this or that, the other thing, you'll find that this is the truth, or something like that, and then we would like this to resolve this matter amicably, without any further, you know, legal entanglements or something, and whatever you put that three or four lines, what you want, you acknowledge that what the facts are, that you believe they're responsible, and that your mother is owed some money or some benefit. And that, you know, they can contact her and you'd like to have her an answer within 10 days or something like that. You have to do that first.
Uh-huh.
And then if they don't respond to that or they send it by trackable mail or registered mail, trackable mail is just as good. And if they don't, no emails or faxes or stuff like that, you got to send it in the way that you have verifiable, you can verify that you send it to them and also to a specific person. Okay.
Mm.
So when you call up and you say, I'm going to send a letter, who would I send it to? What's their title or what their, you know, who's going to send this to their attention? And you make a note of that. And so then you send it off to them. And if you get a blowback, kind of like buzz off, or we don't care, then you take it to a lawyer. And they might call you back and say, well, we're willing to negotiate. Here's half or something. They might not. Or they might say, well, that's not how we see it, you know, give us some more information. At that point in time, that's when you go see a lawyer as well. Okay.
Now, right, so I could give it a try. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first you put them on notice. That's what it means, take notice. Then it's without prejudice, meaning that whatever you say to them is you're not going to be held against you in the future. And then you spill the beans. Not all the details, just what the problem is and what you want, how do you want them to resolve it or give whatever back to your mom. And you send it attention to some person in the company or, you know, somebody that you've either spoken to or you have communicated with. And then you go to a lawyer. When you go to a lawyer, go to a series of lawyers or a group of lawyers, like two or three lawyers in a firm, not one lawyer. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you.
That's how you handle the legal. That's the 101 on how to get by. It's not nothing to do with the show tonight, but maybe it'll help mommy.
Yes, I appreciate it. My mommy appreciates it. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
well,
thank you.
Well, the process is you have to say there's a problem here and I want you to do something. And then if they don't do anything about it, then you can go to a lawyer. And when you go to the lawyer, you have all the paperwork with you and you present it.
Right.
And okay, remember they work by the minute, so be very quick. But I didn't say by the hour, I said by the minute on purpose.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you. If I may ask one question for me, please, if you have a time.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I was wondering, please, I'm looking to do an event in June, and I'm wondering if you see it going well at Amy's place, Laura's place, or Bill's place, by any chance.
Say that again. You're asking me the three different people?
Yes, they each have a different venue. If you can guide me on which one would be a better fit for the event, the right venue to take. I have one gentleman, Bill, who has a venue, another lady, Laura, and another lady, Amy. I'm looking at those three places to have the event in.
Okay, well, they look kind of like they're all chatty and, you know, about equal. You'd probably get along a little better with the ladies than the man, though. Man looks to be a little too much business.
Yeah.
Not as accommodating, put it that way. So any of the two ladies, probably the second one, the first lady or the second lady, you know, the one in the middle that you mentioned, probably maybe you need to check that one out first.
Okay. Thank you. I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay. But don't take my word for it. You know, put your radar on. You know, get your awareness hat on. You know, make sure. And if everything's going along like you expect, you know, like you ask test questions. You know, ask something that you know the answer to, and if they give you back the same answer, then you know they're telling you the truth. You know
right.
that anyway. But anyway, so yeah, it looks like the two ladies either of them will do.
Thank you. Thank you so much again, all of you. Like I said, I really appreciate you, just all the positivity you put out for everyone. Really, really needed right now. Thank you.
Well, that's what we're here for. And, you know, maybe you're in New York. Maybe we'll be over to New York sometime in the next few months, and we'll have a Hope Conference there.
That would be fantastic. Yes. That would be amazing.
If you know a place, we call it a venue, you probably know that. There's a place to, you know, hold a conference, maybe 300-500 people, you know, that's reasonable, easy to get to, you know. Send an email off to mmsc.usa@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Yes, I'll keep an eye out. Since I'm looking at venues, I might come across one about that capacity.
Popped in my head that since you're looking, you could say, oh, Douglas could have a couple hundred people here. Sure, this looks like a good place. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so fantastic.
Well, thank you very much.
I look forward to that. Yes.
Thank you for your kind comments. It's very nice of you. I hope you're enjoying the show tonight.
I am. Thank you. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Take care, Catherine. And stay warm.
Thank you.
Is it snowing in New York or getting plastered or no?
I think it's supposed to start around 1 a.m. It's been cold and rainy most of the evening and still continuing, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
it's
it looks like spring was here last week, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the wrong weekend to have the spring forward time change, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, right? Very ironic.
There you go. Okay, Catherine, take care. Keep a lookout for us. I'm serious about that. We're coming across the country with our conferences to bring hope everywhere. And we're looking for people
yes,
that
hope already...
to be part of our community. Yeah. Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you. Much love and blessings. Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless. So, Doug, you know, there's New York's going to get plastered with snow. You're way in the country, and you're not getting plastered with snow. What do you got going over there? You got any special, you know, connection with the sources above, you know?
Well, we are getting snow, but for where I live, it's just a dusting in the sense that we've got a lot of snow. So if we get an inch or two, that's nothing. We don't worry about that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But other places like the mid-south United States, if they get a dusting of 1 or 2 inches, it closes everything down. But it's not.
Yes.
I don't worry about the weather. So.
Well, you know, as long as you got the snowshoes out there or the dog sled, you're fine.
I've got winter boots and a winter coat and a hat and gloves, so I'm fine.
There you go.
The place is small. I can walk everywhere that I need, so I don't have to drive.
Well, let's take a run over to Chicago and see what's going on with Carol.
Mm.
Or is that where we're going next? Or where Carol's on the line here, in the queue. We got Carmen in New York. We got Maria in New York. Where are we going next, Paul?
We are actually going to Maria in New York.
Yes. Hi, how are you? Thank you
Hi, Maria.
For taking me.
Yeah,
how are
you're
you?
Welcome.
Thank you for getting me. I've got a question, please. I lost my wedding ring, my engagement ring. I don't know if I lost that thing inside the house at the front. I believe I lost inside the house. You think I'm going to find?
What did you lose again? Is it a small something? It looks like a little leather. What is it?
The ring my husband had given me when I married, the engagement
ring. Wedding ring.
Ah, okay. It looks to me like it's in a kind of like a leather little purse or pocket or something like that, or a folder, like a passport size piece of something. So I can see you holding it up. Yes, you're going to find it. It's in the house, yes, it's in the house. But it's in something else. It's in something you wouldn't expect it, like a little change purse or something like a passport case. It's in something small. It looks like it's kind of a bright color, a brownish bright color, brownish reddish something, golden kind of color.
Thank you.
Okay. It's good to hear from you. Are you plans to go to Portugal anywhere anytime soon?
You see, Miss, I'm going to go in Italy again. I ask all the time.
I think you're going to go back. I can see you working hard to get there. Meaning, you know, you're going to plow through it. I think you're going to have an opportunity not too long from now, maybe this summer.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Very...
Okay, Maria. I hope that makes sense. But anyway,
thank
hope you find your ring right away. Okay, we'll say a little prayer.
Yeah.
We'll ask the angels to come and help you for it.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, we're here.
I forgot to tell you something, please. The latter day in the morning, I was smelling the roses. My soul smelled beautiful, and like a lot, like I got a bush of flowers in front of me. What did that mean, you know?
That means an angel or a relative was there. With perfume. That's what that means. That was a visit.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
okay.
very much.
You're
okay,
very
bye-bye.
Welcome. Okay. Bye, Maria. Okay. Where are we headed to next, Paul?
We're going back to New York, and Carmen is on the line.
Hi, Carmen.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys? I don't know what the topic was. I don't remember.
Santa Claus. We're talking about Santa Claus tonight.
Okay, that's fitting. So anyway, I had a new client, and all of a sudden they decided not to come. Would you know what happened? What happened that they did or didn't like? Or
You had some clients that come to see you and they didn't come?
Just
didn't show up?
And then they decided we're not coming anymore.
It looks like they wrote on the street and they're having a talk. And so I'm going to say that somebody was saying something about, you know, to them, like, why are you doing this? Or somebody was convincing them, nothing bad about you, but they look like they're trying to count money or something. So maybe they didn't have enough money to pay you.
No, they did. They're like...
they're wealthy people?
Super.
Okay, well then they're out on the street talking. Then I'm going to take it that they were, you know, there was, if it wasn't money, then there was some other concern. But it didn't seem to be, you know, negative to you. I just don't know what they're all, they're standing in a circle and they're like, you know, they're looking at something. And I'm thinking maybe it wasn't the right time, or maybe something else came up, or maybe this banking crisis, something, it was, but something outside of yourself. It's not money.
Okay.
It was something that was concerning them. They were having a little powwow, I would call it, a little meeting out on the street.
And then I told them I did say something like, okay, let me know what you want to do with the items, and I didn't hear back from them. Should I just let it go or throw it away? Or
no, I would just sit on it. I would just sit still, just wait and see if they come back. Because they got the wrong idea, or somebody's got the wrong idea. It's not you particularly. So I would just, you know,
I don't think the text that I sent was helpful information.
That you're giving them helpful information? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Was that the communication? Like, I didn't hear back from the mother, but do you think whatever information I gave them about what happened during that was kind of helpful information, or?
Well, that's probably, you got a little too close. That, like I say, they've got something in their hand and they're examining it and looking around. And I think you probably got a little too close to maybe, you know, scared them a little bit with what you said, but it's not really you. So my advice is just to sit on it and wait and see.
Yeah.
Wait till they come back. But I don't say anything bad about you.
No, I don't think so. It can't really be, because I don't really, there was nothing there that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I could say, oh yeah. You know what I mean? I think I did get a little too close, but that was because that was what was happening for in this moment. And I got to see some things.
Right. And
so,
I don't get a fix on it. Like, I normally would see something really, you know, startling, but I don't see that. So I'm just saying there's something going on that they were talking about between themselves. And I first thought it was money because they had something in their hands. But from what you're saying just now, it's up to them, or they just have to work it out.
They have to work something out with the situation. But did the client like it in general, or was it...
Well, he looks like he puts his hands out on his side, like, hey, you know, shrugs his shoulders, like, yeah, it was okay. Just kind of like, you know, like, yeah, sure, you know. Nothing offensive, nothing specific. I'm not really picking up too much information. So it's kind of like, it's okay, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not perfect, but it's also whatever it is, it is.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm not getting anything, and it's anything in particular, and or anything extraordinary. So I just, you know, don't worry. Don't just sit there and see what happens.
Yeah,
and they'll come back.
If they don't come back, that's fine too, but it just was so abrupt. I didn't even get to start. It was just like dropped in the middle.
Oh, okay. Well, that was somebody was there who, you know, I like this person I keep seeing in the middle. Some person was there. They didn't know, you know, you just probably scared them, you know, like you said too much, or you said something too exact, or, you know what I mean?
They got scared.
Yeah. And they just went, okay, you got too close, you know, too close to the truth. So anyway, those are the kind of things you go, okay, come, people go, you know, And
it's okay, just, though. That's a good thing that I came close and something opened up. Like, that's what they're meant to see. And if they're not ready, then, of course, they're not going to handle it.
That's right. Exactly right.
They're not ready.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it happened to me before. Maybe next time I can be more, like, careful.
Yeah, diplomatic, it's called. You know.
Not quickly into it. Yeah, okay.
That's
what,
you know, you say, like, you see somebody, you go, oh, my God, you're going to have a baby. And the woman says, no, I'm not. And say, oh. And you go, what's going on here? You know, and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the woman's pregnant. She doesn't know it. And she gets all upset at you. And then a few weeks later, she said, how did you know that? Who told you? You know.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. I think I got a little too close to the client. The client opened up something that was uncomfortable, and then he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave me. He didn't want to leave. He had a hard time leaving, and I got him out of the room. Finally, he was able to go, and he wanted to stay here for years. He said he wanted to come back for years and years, and then all of a sudden, this happened. You know.
Well, again, my take is then relax, not your problem.
Yeah.
And
my problem. No.
Yeah, that's right.
Just, no, it's just sad because I'm investing my time in people, and of course I have to deal with the aftermath of this because of what comes through. But at least I'm understanding like what's happening for me, and diplomatic is a good word that moving forward
right.
That I just take it easy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we all learn. We all have our bruises along the way. So more power to you. Okay.
No, I feel more power to me. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show tonight. Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to, good night. We're going to go from New York. It looks like we're heading to Chicago now.
We certainly are. We've got Carol on the line, Douglas.
And that's the famous Carol. Carol from Chicago.
I am coherent tonight. one of the ways I think that we could, cut down on some of the chaos is to, again, help kids and people meditate, you know, quiet their minds. And I was listening to one of the shows, UFO, he's a famous UFO, a ufologist, and he said that one of the worst people are not the politicians. It is the news media when it comes to causing so much fear in people. For example, in Chicago, they show a lot of the police doing, making the police look like they're the worst, you know, people in the world, and they don't kind of balance it out, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that people can do is do a lot of good things or educate people and put it on the news or YouTube. And then teachers, especially teachers, and shows like yours, you could, you know, emphasize more of your podcast, Wake Up, and stuff like that. And I think that teaching and meditation will do it. And one more thing, the Jose Silva, he has what they call a program called Mind Control. And it's kind of confusing to some people because they think that he's trying to control your mind. What he's doing is broadening your mind so that you can control it. And those are some very good tapes that Jose Silva has, too, to getting you to quiet the mind. Because what he did with his children, he tried it on his children. And, you know, starting back in the 60s or 70s, and he started with his children, and he saw that his children were more attentive, they had higher grades, and they became psychic as well. So that's some of the things that people can do to curtail or, you know, chaos. But it all starts in the mind. If they can become aware that everything starts in the mind. I mean, maybe we can get get out of this.
That's true. Well, it starts in the mind, and what people hold in their mind, what they think all the time, what they talk about all the time, is what comes to them all the time. So
mm-hmm.
by doing that simple thing of saying, you know, I'm angry all the time, or my cell phone, my text, my tweet, my social media, whatever, just putting garbage in. And the way to stop that is just to set it aside, because we're basically all addicted to information. I'm a news hound. I watch all the news stations, and there are people who watch their favorite websites or their favorite online sources of information. And the way to test it, if you're addicted, is that you just say, oh, I'm not going to look at it today. I don't care what happened today. If you can do that and honestly do it, I'm talking, when I say you, I mean everybody listening in the audience. If you can do that and walk away and not, you know, be disinterested, then you're not addicted. But if you have to go back, if you have to check your phone, you have to see who called you, who texted you, you're addicted. And you are subject to whatever comes to you on your laptop, your cell phone, or your computer. And whatever you read, it's going to start in your mind. It's going to provoke an emotional response, because reading provokes thoughts, and there's always an emotion attached with a thought. They always come in pairs, thought and emotion. And if you can somehow say, I'm not going to listen to anything today, I'm just going to relax, you know, stop and smell the roses. I mean, that's as old as the hills, those cliches. They're the same from years ago to now. We can't help it. We're humans, that we have to know things. That's why rumors and gossip and bad news travels really fast, where you know, the truth comes out and everybody goes, oh, yeah, well, and they forget that they've just ruined somebody's entire life with their constant deceit or rumors or false statements. And they go, oh, really, I didn't know that. Meanwhile, they've ruined somebody's life. But the spiritual world, God, doesn't forget that. And we think so. I know people who have just lambasted somebody up and down and only find out later on that they were wrong. And they said, imagine that. But meanwhile, they had assassinated that person's character for weeks and months. God doesn't forget. So as we say to ourselves what starts in the mind, then we have to associate, you know, rules, procedures, ideas, understanding, so that we can reinforce it. We choose not to assassinate somebody's character. We choose not to gossip. We choose not to believe whatever comes across our screen and provokes us. Because if it does, you know, you immediately feel, oh my God, well, you just got nailed. The devil got you. But on the other side of that, if you turn on some music or some humor or some shows that make you laugh, that's medicine to you. That's giving you hope. And that's what we're going to try to do at the Hope Conferences, is to teach people how to rethink and react, because it's not being done. It's not being done now. And you're right, Carol. It begins in the mind. And if we can go out and teach children who are being bullied, who are being, pressured, into all these things. I remember when I was a kid, it was, you know, what kind of jeans were you wearing? How short was the lady's skirt, which was up to the knees at that time? And what was your favorite hairstyle? And who was your favorite, you know, musician, rock star, singing group? It was a different, more innocent world back then. But there were a lot of bad things happening. There were still people doing bad things, going to jail, and all those other things that humans do, as we know. But if we can go back to those times and in our mind and remember the good times when we were little or younger, we can wipe out, we can house clean, we can do some mind washing, if you will, brain washing, if you prefer, and get rid of those things that are weighing us down. Because at the end of the day, I'm not sure if Jay said it earlier in the show, you know, at the end, your life's over. Then what? What have you accomplished? our Buddhist friends would say, you know, you think you have more time than you do, but you don't, and you're wasting your time. And so here we are, you know, it's going to be, you know, March the 15th pretty soon. It's tax time coming up. It's spring coming up. Well, wasn't it just a minute ago we were talking about, you know, Santa Claus and New Year's Eve? Was it just a minute ago? So time is an illusion. Time goes by, and the faster, as we all know, the older you get, the faster it goes. So take the time, but try not to get caught up in the whodunit stuff, like the situation as we talked about, the Silicon Valley Bank going belly up. We had seen this and predicted this. Other people have seen more difficulty. My friend Raul reported to me earlier tonight that he's seen some bomb burst over Syria in the sky. And he's been very accurate with some things that he's seen, as well as these situations with the banks. I've seen them. Other people here in the audience have seen them. There's an awareness. We need to come together, and that's why the Hope Conferences are being initiated, and a community is being started so that we can give hope to each other so that we can rely upon someone, each other, that is to say. So when someone in the group has a vision or a dream, we can put it together and see if other people have had a similar dream. Or it can be in time preparing us. It wasn't too long ago where people were complaining about the reservoirs in California and Nevada and other places, Arizona. Oh my God, the water levels. Now look what's happening. We've got these gigantic floods. I'm thinking as I'm watching these disasters go by on the TV, wouldn't it be great if we could have some sort of pipeline, like an oil gas line pipeline, pumping this water to these reserves? Or wouldn't it be great to dam up these rivers that are overflowing and make them into reserves? Somebody needs to be forward-looking and thinking like that. But the way the world works, you know, feast or famine, we're having droughts and we're having floods. But this is a time of extremes. With wisdom, we could accommodate these times and not just suffer when something happens like this. Never mind the bank situation, never mind the flooding, never mind the snow. You know,
Because I think that is an appropriate title for your presentation, because your presentations is because without hope, nothing can change or move. So inspiring people to have hope is a great accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
I got one question. Will any of the hospitals that we write help us create a medical booklet for kids?
Will they help to what? A medical what?
A medical booklet. In other words, will they help us create a medical booklet for graduate students? We're going to contact some hospitals and ask them to help us create a book. I guess get some of their medical illustrators or something.
Well, you have to go backwards thinking. You have to go to the end user and say, okay, we have this intention to get some get information and communicate it to kids. Okay, what exactly is the benefit going to be? What is the information going to be that will provoke that benefit? And then how will the child or children digest that information, use that information, or hold it safe, hold it valuable? In other words, keep it. What are those parameters? Once you figure them out, then you can go, okay, this is what's going to happen. Because, you know, producing a book, I hate to say it, but books almost don't exist anymore. The AI information that's out there and the information that's online, can we get it to the kids in a way or a format that they would accept it, which I don't know what it is, you know. But in the idea of writing something down and having information available for them, that's a good idea. Now
so
we're not
selling Dr. Kratcher. We could just create a little booklet so that it would get them more interested in choosing a medical career and increase their health literacy. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, that's the intention. Now you have to go to the other end and see how would the child use it? How would they do that? Not guess, but find out what's acceptable to them. And the child might say, well, I can get it on my cell phone, or I don't want to read a book. You know, my granddaughter, I was astounded that she went to school and she had to ask that a course at school would be set up so she could learn to write. She wanted to learn how to write. When my daughter told me about my granddaughter, I said, well, first of all, that's very nice that she wants to learn how to write. And then I thought, how far have we come? Because nobody writes anymore. Everybody taps with their thumbs into their cell phone or iPad. And now we have a voice to text. And now we have artificial intelligence where you have this chat GPT stuff and you can just tell it to write an essay and it will do it. And so this is way, 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 way ahead of where you and I, Carol, are thinking. But they don't teach kids to write in school. So the idea to have a pamphlet or have something that would be, you know, like the way we did it, we got a pamphlet, we got a flyer, and it intrigued us. It had a picture, you know, big fire engine on the front and some little kid wearing a fire cap and say, okay, I want to be a fireman. Okay, well, now it's got to be a video with all kinds of information. And, you know, I just don't even know how to begin to describe that. So what I'm saying is your idea is honorable, it's worthy, it's notional, it's a good thing to help people solve problems. And I think if you want to ask somebody about that information, you need to have a process of how the child is going to actually use it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not discouraging, I'm encouraging you.
Right.
I would think the best would be to take some kids to a hospital, walk through the hospital and say, see that person over there, they're making $24 an hour. See that person over there, they're making $75 an hour. See that person over there, they're making $150 an hour. They're in the same hospital, they're just doing different things. How many of you would want to make the $175 an hour job? Me, 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 me. Okay. This is what you have to do to get there. Oh, okay. Now I'm motivated. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the little pictures that were flying in my mind, by the way, as you were talking. So, anyway, Carol, you're a good soul. You are always looking forward. You always want to help children. For that, may God bless you and guide you and assist you in your efforts. This is really, truly wonderful that you're doing these things.
Yeah. And my last question, Dr. Tasha, before you go, who or what is the librarian of the Akashic Records? Who is the librarian? Or what
you,
is the librarian?
You are.
Okay.
Yep, your high self.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show, Carol. We're going to wind it up now. And stay. By the weather, I was kidding. How's the weather in Chicago? Is it cold? Is it sunny? What's it like over there?
It was trying to storm, but it was trying to snow a lot, but the snow didn't stick here. Well, I am. It didn't stick at all. It rained a lot and tried to snow, but it went away.
Okay.
About what? 40.
Well, I remember when bad weather came in, Chicago always got pasted, then Buffalo. You know, now it's kind of nope, Texas, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, New York. You know, my gosh. Anyway, thanks for being on the show, Carol. You take care, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Okay, gentlemen, this wraps up the show tonight. So we've had some interesting comments, certainly from across the country, and it seems to have resonated with people. You know, when events of a negative sort happen, there is indignation and shouts by people, something has to be done, somebody should do something, why hasn't anybody said anything, why hasn't anybody done something? And the key to that is, as Jay mentioned, from Alberta, and as we had the lady from New York, and the way to do this is to first of all say, listen to yourself. Somebody needs to say something. I need to say something. Something should be done. Well, I need to do something. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just one thing per day. Just one something per day. Speak up. Take action. Think about how you can improve the situation. And remember, you have complete control as long as your arms are. That's your distance. Stick your arms out to the front, the side, to the back. That's your area of complete control. Anything beyond that, you don't have control. You have influence, and you can write letters, you can call people, and you be nice. To be nice is best, because people will listen to you. And you can be persuasive. And if people disagree with you, be nice. It doesn't matter. But do something for the events, the answers to all those questions. Why hasn't anyone done, said, or is intending to do something? Turn it around and say, okay, what can I do? How can I help? Don't panic. Be prepared. There is more coming. We've talked about this before. This is a time of extremes. My book, The New Earth, I've done about 85% of the predictions have come true there. I can see the future. I have seen the future. I have proven that I can see the future. And so can you. How many of you have had a dream and it's come true? There you were able to see the future. The Hope Conferences are being set up to attract hope. And if we have hope, we have a society that can manage to endure just about anything. The Hope Conferences are there to bring like-minded people together, to illuminate the Christ consciousness, compassion, love, caring for one another. That's the secret, that we care for each other. We're going to take a short break and be right back to summarize the show. Right back after this.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging, and skincare to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
The Douglas James Cottrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws. This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection. Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials.
You're listening to The Global Village with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley. Now, back to our hosts.
And I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight, my friends. It was a proper topic as we came to understand. Thank you very much for all the people that participated in the show tonight. Very, very enlightening views. And we look forward more to more shows like this in which we can, you know, get into the community. The Hope Conferences, again, what's that website again, Paul? I just can't remember that again. What is it?
Let me scratch my head, Douglas. Oh, hopeconferences.org.
There you go, my friends. The key to the golden door and to a wonderful future. We hope that this will be hopeful to you, and you will attend the Hope Conferences coming to you. The next one's in Phoenix. Come on down, see the Phoenix rising. I think there's something, you know, ironically appropriate for that, having this next Hope Conference in Phoenix. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to meet some great people. We'll have other speakers that will be there. And we're going to talk about, all the things that are important to us and our community. So with that, gentlemen, I'll say last word. Doug's been in the wings here and taking it easy. Sitting back and, as always, contributing to the show. What's your last word tonight, sir?
Well, I think it's a very important topic. Hope is important. And I urge people never to regard themselves as victims. We can always do something with our lives. Some things I say to myself, I say, I speak because the words need to be said. And I act because inaction is decay, and I have no masters but myself. I'm not a victim. I'm the master of my fate.
Well, that's well said, Doug. Well, no, well said. Okay. Paul, last word. From Paul is the producer of the show. Doug is the co-host. And we thank you both for helping out tonight. Last word, Paul.
Well, Douglas, I think it's not only wise to be prepared spiritually, but be prepared physically. Be prepared with a little extra food, as you have stated in one of your books, if not more than one. Be prepared with things that you might need should the electricity go off for a little while, should the gas get cut off. Just be prepared to take care of your family, and don't be caught unexpected. Just have some water, some food. I'm not sitting here saying that the world is coming to an end, but I think it's just wise with what we have seen from you, Douglas, and around the world, predictions that are yours coming true. Just be prepared physically. That's all. I think that's just a wise thing to think about. Tomorrow, Saturday, go out and buy a case of water and store it in the garage or basement. Have some canned goods and maybe a little Sterno stove.
Well, certainly we need to be prepared for shortages. And a couple of years ago, I started my little project of how to grow vegetables in the blue recycling bins. Somebody had told me that they had a vision or dream that it was important that they grow potatoes in bags. I had never heard that before, potatoes in bags. And to my delightful surprise, when I went to Mr. or Mrs. Google, there were all kinds of vendors selling bags. Now, these were special bags, in as much as you could put dirt in them, and they were sort of plastic. There were some paper ones. There were some cloth ones. But in particular, they had a little door on the side. So you would put the potato plant, two or three potatoes in, they would germinate, they would grow potatoes, and then you didn't have to kill the plant to take a potato. You just open the door, reach in, grab one, and close the door up, let the plant keep on producing potatoes. I was astounded. I thought, my God, why didn't I think of that? And so I started to think, okay, what's the hard part here? I can't bend over that well. I don't like weeding. There's got to be a better way. So I came across those blue recycling bins, the smaller ones, and I filled them up with some soil. I went on the video and I saw a lady who who was a very good art, a gardener, and she had certain soil mix, and she had all kinds of neat ideas, homemade ideas. And so I started, and I came to the conclusion that I'm going to grow tomatoes. Well, I've learned that the cherry tomatoes are the best ones to grow in the pots because they don't weigh a lot. They keep coming on and growing and ripening, you know, sort of like not all at once. They keep coming and ripening up, and you go out and pick a few. And so all of a sudden they have these plastic shelves around the edge of my deck, and I have these blue recycling boxes on the shelves. There's two. And then I have the soil in there, and I have my little hose. And I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. Did you know, Paul, that you can take onions from the store, the kind, you know, like the with the little white bulb and the green tops? You take them,
yep.
You bring them home, you cut the tops off, the green tops, and you put the white part in the soil. And they'll continue to grow the green part of the onion forever. And you just keep going up and taking little scissors. And celery's the same. You cut the bottom off the celery about 2 inches. You put that in the soil, and it will grow more celery.
Wow.
And I'm going like, why didn't I think of these things before? So it's fun. It's an experiment. And it's a way of preparing for yourself so that you can eat basically. Lettuce grows really fast, and I get the kind that grows straight up and down. I don't get the ball lettuce because that's too hard to handle. And so by a little bit of experimenting and a little bit of ingenuity, you don't need a lot of soil. You just need a place to park these little boxes with soil in them. You have to drill holes in the bottom so they drain. And by the way, this lady's tip was to put styrofoam, about an inch of styrofoam in the bottom, so it will give good drainage. And then holes, of course, in the bottom. And I thought, my God, why didn't I think of that? So the point is, I'm just recounting of my pleasure of pleasing myself and what I didn't know and how to grow food for free, easily. But also the idea, should something go out, something go wrong, I'm always remembering my friend who had the dream about having bags of potatoes, especially in October. Two Octobers have gone by now. Maybe this is the October. So stock up. Have enough for a couple of months. You know, cans of food work real well, too. You don't have to have those 20-year survival kits. You can just buy a bunch of food or cans. You know, stewed tomatoes, beans, carrots, peas, whatever. And if you start to think about it, all of a sudden your intuition will start to guide you. And you'll be able to have fresh food that you can grow, but you'll also know what to get. And I always remember that story where Tom was out. He was on Federal Express, and the plane went down, and he was stranded. You remember that? I forget the title. And he was like a Robinson Crusoe guy, and he couldn't start fire. So I have a few extra lighters lying around the house.
Good.
And I also have a couple of extra barbecue tanks, you know, two or three or four. Because somebody in Alaska had a dream about people in California not being able to have gas in their houses and having to cook their food on barbecues. So little bits of information like this coming at me from different sources, passing it on here to everybody through the Global Village Radio Show and having Paul and Doug help me get this information out. We're encouraging you to do the same. Prepare.
Anything I can grow without having to be outside, only because I did this, Douglas. I tried several years in a row. I did a major garden, and first year was pretty successful. I had a few rabbits. The next year was not quite as successful. I had deer. And then the third year, I had so many animals expecting. I guess they were waiting. Waiting for the third year for the garden to be put together, and they ate everything.
Well,
they ate
the
beets, onions, tomatoes.
Well, sure. It's a smorgasbord, right?
That's right.
So that's why not having a big garden like that, having these little pots around your back deck, it's inside. It can be gated. Anyway, yeah, good point. Yeah.
I like it. I like simple is better. That's right.
Well, I think I'm bragging it up now, but I like to go out there. I had about 10 cherry tomato plants.
Wow.
I would go out there, and I would be able to pick off the ripe ones, say 6 or 7, and I eat them right off the vine. And the next day, there'd be 6 or 7 more ripe, and there are lots of green ones, of course, coming on. And I didn't have to do anything with them. You know, I put them up against the fence and the little strings to hold them. I didn't have to stake them up or anything like that. So anyway, enough about that. This is the show about hope coming to the world. And I guess by, you know, maybe what we're passing on, these trade secrets on how to have these home gardens, that will inspire people. It's amazing to watch things grow. My grandfather, who was a farmer, said that to me one day. He said, "I like to watch them grow." He said, "A plant in this kitchen." I never understood what he meant until I started to watch these little garden things grow. How a little seed, I started things from the seed myself, and they came into this plant. And eggplants I had, and I had cabbages and things like that. The rabbits got those, but that was beside the point. Anyway, it's amazing to see God in action. But good night, my friends. This is you're listening to the Global Village Radio Show, and we're a little bit over time just now, but thank you for listening in and staying on the line. For all you people who were on the show tonight, God bless you. Thank you for being participants on our show. And once again, thanks to Doug Bentley as the co-host and our producer, Paul Hughes. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, saying good night. May God bless you. Do be prepared for some financial upheavals here this next week or so. Wherever you happen to live and listening to this show, be prepared as well. We wish you Godspeed. May you enjoy all aspects of God, health, wealth, and peace. Good night, my friends. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.